Want to see everybody out again this morning. Always a pleasure and encouragement to be able to gather together and come out and study the Word of God as we have the opportunity to do so. We got the title up there. I guess I messed up on the front, but it's good to see everybody out. It's always encouraging to be here with one another. It's encouraging to be here to study God's Word. Of course, I'm always encouraged as my kids continue to grow and learn, and thankful for those who are willing to teach their class. And the lesson this morning is a title from a book that I had grown up with. It is once I found out I was having Josiah the first, I made sure to buy it before he was born. Is the first book that I had purchased for the kids. It was The Tale of Three Trees. And I don't know who, anyone has ever read it or heard it, Tale of Three Trees. Once again, it's just something that I'd grown up with, and as I got into preaching and bought the book for him, I ended up putting a lesson together on it, re-amped it a few times here and there, even had to add it and take away a little bit as I got it ready for today. But The Tale of Three Trees, I'm going to, for the most part, just summarize the story for you and then bring out a lesson from it. I'm not going to, Casey said I should read the whole thing. I thought that would take too much time. But it's a tale of three trees, so obviously it's talking about three trees. And these three trees are up on a high, high hill. They're up on a mountaintop, basically. And as they're up on this mountaintop, the three trees are talking to each other. And the first tree ends up looking up into the sky during the night, looking at the stars, and it sees the stars and imagines the jewels and how they shine like silver and how precious they are. And so that tree, when it grew up, wanted to be made into the most beautiful treasure chest in the world and to hold the greatest treasures there is in this world. That's what the first tree wanted. Well, the second tree, sitting on this mountaintop, looks down past the hills, out into the valley, looks and sees the river running and flowing into the ocean and the seas. It wants to be a great ship when it grows up. It wants to be made into the greatest ship, fit for kings and high royal people. It'll be the greatest and strongest ship ever to be. What the second tree will be. Now the third tree looks up into the skies, looks down into the valleys, but the third tree doesn't want to leave the mountain. The third tree just wants to grow as big as it can be, as tall as it can be, and when people come pass by, it'll stand as straight as it can be. People will have to look so far up and to look into the heavens and thank God. So as time goes by, the sun shines, the rains come, and they all grow to be great, strong, beautiful trees. But then one day, three men climb up this mountain looking for trees for their work. The first man looks at the first tree and says, "This is a beautiful tree. It'll be great for what I need." With the swoop of its axe, that's the first tree down. The second man looks at the second tree and says, "This is a strong tree. This will be good for what I have planned for it." And with the swoop of its axe, that's its tree down. The third tree, of course, is trying to stand as tall, as straight as it can do. But that third man never even looked up and said, "Any tree will do for me." And he cuts down the third tree. So they're all cut down. Of course, the third tree is terrified, does not know why it was cut down. It wanted to point out. Well, the first tree was excited where he was brought. He was brought into a carpenter's shop. And he was, "Oh, I'm going to be made into a beautiful treasure chest." That's not what the man had in mind. Instead, he had in mind to build a feed box for animals. That's what the first tree was made into. He made into a feed box, left into a shit barn for animals to eat. The second tree was excited when it got to where it was going. It was brought into a shipyard. But no great sailing ship or oceans were being made that day for kings. But a simple fishing boat. That second tree was brought back and forth to a little lake, little pond, catching smelly fish every day. Third tree was cut into a pile of lumber and thrown to the side. And as time went by, seemed to be forgotten about. As time continued to go by, all three trees ended up forgetting about their dreams, forgetting about becoming a beautiful treasure chest, forgot about becoming a great ship of kings, forgot about being the tallest tree that pointed to God. But then one day, one night had come by, and a couple were needing a place to be because she was about to go and lay her. And then she needed somewhere to lay her baby. The husband ends up just what she had, he had to find was simply this feeding box. And that first tree knew, though it wasn't a great, beautiful treasure chest, it held the greatest treasure there ever was. And then that second tree, of course, as time continued to go by, it forgot about its trees also. And these men had got into it and sailed off, and a great storm had come upon. And this second tree knew it wasn't strong enough to get them through this storm. It did not know what to do. But then a man had got up, told the storm to calm, told the sea to be at peace. That second tree knew that it held the greatest king there ever was. And that third tree, though, once again left in this pile, wondering whatever happened to its tree, was yanked out of its pile, and it was dragged through an angry mob and crowd, and then they nailed somebody to him, and it just felt terrible. It felt like it was just, you know, in a cruel place. But then a few days passed after this man died on this tree. The earth shook, trembled, and the third tree had realized that God had actually ended up answering their prayers and then doing what they desired to happen in the end. So it wasn't the rapture off the tent. It wasn't exactly what they wanted to happen. Because as that day came, he realized the first tree was made beautiful and held a great strength. Second tree made it strong and held a king. And every time anyone thinks about that third tree, they think about that. And it says there at the end of this book, it says that was better than being the tallest tree in the world. So the point I plan on trying to make out of this lesson this morning, the tale of the three trees, is that it's not in the way a man directs his own steps. It's not in our way. We often get caught up in thinking, this is what I want to happen. This is where I want to go. This is how I'm going to do it. And then we get upset when it doesn't work out exactly what we thought it was going to happen. It doesn't go the way we desired it to go. And sometimes we need to take that step back and look and see, maybe it was better off to go this way. Maybe we can still make it work for our Lord and Savior. So, the first point, of course, is that it's not in the way a man directs his own steps. If you open your Bibles to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 10, and in verse 23, Jeremiah 10, in verse 23, it says that exactly. It says, "Oh Lord, I know the way of men is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." It's not in our path to guide our own direction. You think about what we've been studying with the minor prophets. You see what the Lord is presenting to Judah and to Israel and all the things that they got caught up in and going their own way. And of course they try to take glory for themselves and saying, "I've done this by myself. I've made myself a great nation. I've got all the riches by myself. I deserve this land." God's the one that blessed them with it. God is the one that led them there. And of course, God's the one that was able to take it away. We need to see that it's not in our path to guide ourselves. But we need to look to God. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Too often, many get carried away. And you think about how some religions and some even within the church that they've gone liberal or they go because it starts off with a good idea. Someone says, "Well, this sounds like it'd be a good idea to add this to services or to take this away, or maybe not to just talk about that subject at all." It sounds like a good way. It seems right. It seems okay, and it won't hurt anybody. But in the end, says it leads to death. It's not in our way to direct our own steps. I want to go forth and look at the points that were made throughout this book, throughout this tale of three trees. Looking at the first tree, the most beautiful chest in the world is what it would have been. How many today want that popularity? How many today want the riches of the world? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you read there in verse 9. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It says the love of money is the key root to all kinds of evil. Not to every, but a lot. It what pulls men away from God because they just have to have more and more. It can cause a person to get to the extent of stealing and taking from others. Or cause a person to choose work over God. And cause a person just to go and do whatever when they covet the precious things of this world. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13 and verse 22. When it talks here, going through, I believe, the different grounds as a man goes and sows the seed. In 13 verse 22 it says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It says because of the riches of the world, because of the desires of this world, choke it out. They receive it, and they see it, and it's good. But they want something more than they want to obey God. They want it more than the desire to be in heaven with our Lord and Savior. Same thing as we would talk about the rich young ruler. When he came to God, he asked, what must I do in order to receive eternal life? And then the Lord said, keep his commandments. And he said, which ones? The Lord goes off the names of commandments. He says, what do I lack in order to be perfect? And he says, go and sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. See, he had one thing that he desired more, that he loved more. And he just couldn't give up because he had great possessions. We need to see the same points are made today in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15. It brings out here, it says, and he said to him, take heed. Beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Once again, considering where our treasures are, considering what we truly desire to have. Verse 21 says, so he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. When we lay our treasures upon this earth, our treasure should be with Christ, with our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. When you read verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Once again, going back to the story that we have read and are summarized, that first tree wanted the treasures, wanted to be so beautiful, wanted the riches. The greatest treasure was Christ. Because he can bless you with more than you could ever ask. Because in the end, when we die, all our possessions upon this earth will be destroyed with us. When the true world is completely destroyed on that day that God has set aside. But the treasure in heaven, a home in heaven, will last eternally. Will always be there for us. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 21. It says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Here's the story of the rich young ruler. It says, go and sell, and you'll have treasure in heaven. If we're willing to deny ourselves, if we're willing to deny the wealth of this world. Again, it's not saying we don't work, we have to provide for our own. Then it doesn't say if you make that extra money that you can't enjoy. Don't let it be the main focus of your life. Don't let it consume you to where you're always wanting more, always having to do what you have to have. You can't cut a team over what others have. John 14, 1 through 3, there where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, a home for you. In his Father's house, many mansions. He's making one for you. Let that be our treasure. Let that dwell in our hearts. Let that be where our hearts is. Are you willing to give up your soul in order just to have a few good things on this earth? We think, truly seek out the Lord. Let that be our treasure. The second tree desired to be a strong ship. Desired to be the greatest ship there was. To sail with King. Wanted to be strong. Wanted to have a popular people. Is what he wanted. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 24, if you turn there with me. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 24. Here brings out Jesus saying, woe a few times. He says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received the consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers who false prophets. You know, we talk about the riches in the last point, and here you get rich, and you get into the high standards, and people start speaking well of you just because you must be doing something right to get up into this position. It says, woe to you when all people speak well of you. And so did they to the false prophets. We need to take a step back, because that's all we're trying to do. We just want to get along with everybody. Now understand, the Word of God tells us as much as possible that depends on you. Live peacefully with all. We are supposed to do our part to get along. But understand, if we are putting God first, and allowing Him to be our strength, allowing Him to be our home, then we're not always going to get along. Be satisfied in doing work for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It gives us a warning of who our friends are. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts the moral good habits. If we don't watch who we are with, if we're always just choosing certain friends because they are more popular. And looking at what Israel had got caught up in as we've been studying the prophets, they wanted a king, right? They wanted a king so they could be like all the other nations. Because they wanted to be like all the other nations that let him down and into sin. They wanted to be like him, so they started worshiping like him. They started sacrificing like him. They forgot to call on the Lord. They forgot to seek out the Lord our God. Because they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to have the treasures of the world. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13. And read there along with me in verse 20. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. We surround ourselves with those who are fools, those who don't seek God, with those who have nothing to do with our Lord, who don't care. They're just going to destroy you. Your influence rubs off. What do you think about that as we make our decision? As we seek who our friends are, as we continue to strive to obey God. We need to remember our strength should come from our Lord as it did for that ship, for that second tree. Strength and looking to who our true King is, who our true friend is. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 13. It says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep his commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ is appeared, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed only, potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Who to the King of kings, the the Lord of Lords, as we could turn to Revelation and read there in 1, chapter 1, verse 8, He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, who is, who was, who is to come. He is the greatest King that we could ever see. He is the best friend that we could ever ask for. And we continue to look for who we can rely on. In Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, if you read along with me there, and verse 10. It says, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's basically the same thing as what Moses had told Israel as they went into the land of Canaan before, because he couldn't go with them. He couldn't continue to teach them. He couldn't continue to lead them. You have to fear Joshua and you have to fear them as they entered into the land. But the thing is, they weren't to be afraid as they entered into this land. It doesn't matter how many enemies they have. It doesn't matter that they were giants. It doesn't matter. Because God goes before them and He will deliver them. Same thing as what David had said as he went up against Goliath. Upon this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. We have to have that faith in our God that He will strengthen us, that He will be there for us. In John 15. And not just a king, but a friend. And that's what's bringing out here in John 15. John 15, and reading there in verse 14. Because I know He speaks to His apostles and the disciples that are with Him there. But we have His word also. So this applies to us also. It says, You are my friends if you did whatever I commanded. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Think about it as it does read as He's talking to the disciples right then and there. He's speaking to the apostles that are with Him. But the thing is He made them write these things down for us so that we can have them, so that we can know what His plans are. Therefore, we are His friend also if you truly accept His word and keep His commandments. Once again, what better friend can we ask for than our Lord and Savior? One who has showed us the greatest act of love by giving His life up for you, for me. As Paul brought out, the Lord is His strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ with strength. And as He's speaking that, He's not speaking about going and picking up a mountain and doing the impossible in that matter, but in the fact that He was able to be content and no matter what status His life was in, whether He was starving or whether He was full, whether He was had plenty of clothes, or if he was naked, or if he was shipwrecked, or if he had a house over his head. He was able to get through these times and remain faithful because of his faith in Christ, through the strength which he had through our Lord and Savior. Always be there. We're told to pray without ceasing. When we put on the armor of God, Paul wrote there in Ephesians 5, 6, I think it's verse 18. It said, praying always. Always praying. Always there for us. How many times have we been there and we needed somebody and they didn't come through for us? That's not our God. That's not our Lord. Sometimes we need to look to Him for our guidance. We always need to look to Him for our guidance. Because it's not in us to direct our own steps. He will be there for us. Looking at the last tree, he wanted to be the tallest tree in the world. And pointing to God. And some might step back and say, well, what is wrong with this point? Why didn't God at least grant this tree what it wanted? Because it just wanted to point to God. It wanted to grow tall and point to God. Understand, we can't just stand and do nothing. God expects us to work in our faith. Not just call on Him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, And in verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We have to be willing to obey his commandments. Not just say, I believe. I love. He's my God. But willing to act upon those words. Willing to walk the walk. Willing to keep his commandments. If you turn to James chapter 2 and you read throughout verses 14 through 16, I'm not going to read all those today. But you read through, it talks about how we need to have faith with our works. In verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? It says, what does it profit? Can faith alone be what saves somebody? You believe getting on the boat when in the ocean and drowning will save you, but you don't get in the boat, what good does it do? Believe getting out of the house that is on fire is better for you, but you don't get out of the house, what good does it do? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he can wash away your sins, but you never come to him, you never confess it, you never get baptized in Christ, what good does it do? Verse 15 says, if brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them to depart, be in peace, warm, filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also paid by itself, it does not have works, is dead. The tree just wanted to stand there, but God said you have to do something that people are going to look at you, think of you, and think of God. We do nothing that people aren't going to think of. But if we shine in his works, we are the light of this world. When people see our works, they will glorify God because they see his light shining through us. In James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1, verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Once again, it's not just hearing and saying it, but acting upon our faith. And for all three trees, God ended up, in a manner, answered what they really wanted. And sometimes we have to open our eyes to see that. It's hard to see the good that comes out of that. It's hard to see what God really had planned and whether or not he's answered our prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is later. We truly have to be willing to give our faith to God and trusting him and acting in his commands. God has a plan for us, and we have to be willing to act on this. We have to be willing to keep his commandments. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 tells us he left us an example there. The example was Christ. He came down and gave his life for us, and we should follow in his footsteps. We should follow and keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We look at how he was forgiven, how he did not fight back, how he was willing to submit to all things that his Father desired to come from him. Even when he knew he was going to have to suffer. He prayed in the garden and asked, if there's any other way, let it be. But if there isn't another way, if there's no other way that we can be forgiven, because he loves us and he wants to keep and be obedient to his Father, he's willing to go through the suffering. He was willing to allow the Roman government soldiers to take him. He stopped Peter from taking and fighting for him. Because these things had to take place. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We want to get to heaven. That is the path. That is the direction we have to take. There is no other way. There is no other path. It is only through Christ. It's not in the way for us to direct our own steps. We need to be willing to accept whatever the Lord commands from us. Be willing to always give our faith over to him, even in hard times. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. You are here and you know the truth. You know the path that you must take. You know what Christ has done for you. But you might have to deny things of this world. Coming forward, confessing your faith, and being baptized in Christ, you will have the greatest treasure there is. A home in heaven. He will wash the burdens off your shoulder, wash your sins away from you. You will have great new strength in Christ. If you're hearing there's strength that you need the prayers and congregation. If there's anything we can do, we let it be known as we stand.
And you lay in your mother, oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne. Thank you.